executive session, we're going to go on to item 7C, General Services Airports.
Good morning. Steve Sergal, the Deputy Director of General Services, and with me is Angie Stambaugh, Transportation Manager, and we are here to give a presentation on Siskiyou County Airports. Okay, Butte Valley Airport number A32. The State of California Department of Water Resources, the DWR, they just finished punching a well out there for monitoring, and it's the agreement with them takes us out to April of 4042, and the well itself is about 1,100 feet deep. And it's just a monitoring well that the state is going to be monitoring water levels.
Did that go through our Sigma?
Yes, it did.
Our guys approved that as well?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes. Fire season of 2022, U.S. Forest Service used the airfield for fire helicopter operations. The revenue that was earned off from that was $12,000. And revenue to be... That revenue is planned to be used for this coming spring to do crack sealing on the runway and painting as well in 2024. Scott Valley Airport, A30. The United States Forest Service has expressed interest in leasing more land to support two helicopter pads and support equipment. Last year, we renegotiated the agricultural lease agreement with the Hanna Brothers from 33 acres to 21 acres. We pulled back a little bit of that land. And because of that, this last fire season, we were able to allow the Forest Service to use that acreage, that 12 acres of land for helicopter operations, which earned us revenue of $40,500.
So on that $40,500, that's just for the lease of the land. There's not like
just
a parking
the helicopter's
fee or
operations.
Fee?
Yes, sir. Just the helicopter operations.
And why don't we charge landing fees, parking fees?
That's at the end of the. We do have that information.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And work we have done out there recently. We replaced the steps up to the light tower, as well as replaced turnabout reflectors. The Weed Airport, Oscar 46, the taxiway and aircraft parking apron reconstruction project, phase one, is scheduled for the spring of 2024. As we all know, it was scheduled for this year, but the hang-up was we were waiting for the funding to be finally approved by the FAA. Phase one total project cost is $4,437,727, and our matching cost to that is $293,773. The state cost is $150,000, and there's been increased concern about the lack of an AWAS system out there. We're working with our consultants and the FAA and LaMoffa's office on seeing if we can get one out there. And I can expand on that just a little bit. Our entire FAA team has done a complete changeover, which we find that to be a good thing. And we met with them on the phone on a Zoom call, and we exchanged quite a bit of information. And where we're at with that, the AWAS system at the moment, is the FAA is checking to see if an AWAS 3P system, requires a cost-benefit analysis. The previous rule was is it did, but they're confirming whether or not it does or doesn't. One of the requirements was the AWAS system had to be on our ALP, and it is on our ALP, so that is one of the steps that we've checked off. And the FAA is checking to see if the established language for the AWOS system, it meets the requirement. What we have, let me see here. They're making sure that the language that was put on our ALP matches the specific language that the FAA requires. We have no reason to believe that it won't, but they're checking to make sure that it will. And then once that is taken place, they will let us know whether a BCA needs to be conducted. And because of the Grant Assurance Act, even if we was to pay for it out of our own monies, the FAA will be involved in it anyway because it's an FAA-funded airport. So more to follow on that.
What's BCA?
Is the benefit cost analysis.
Okay. And while they're looking at to see if the two match for the requirement, how long does that take?
We should be hearing back from them very soon. We spoke with them
tomorrow?
Before. No. I would say in the next couple of weeks, sir.
I've been waiting 17 years for this thing, so
I'm sure you have.
And no criticism to you, but when the government says, "Yeah, we'll get back to you," that could be a year. So
yeah.
I'm just trying to define where they're going with it.
We should be hearing something shortly, and we'll be able to provide
okay.
you an update.
Okay.
The first step is whether or not a BCA is needed and whether or not at what level. And if there is a BCA, that'll help us determine what level of AWOS system they will fund us.
That's so they may pay for the whole thing?
They may.
Potentially,
yes.
Okay.
And if they choose not to, then we always have the option to buy it ourselves, but they will still be involved because it's a FAA-funded airport.
So does public safety come into play in that BCA?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It most certainly does. And they are aware of our concerns of things that have happened in the past as well as things in the future because of inclement weather
right.
and not be able to get Mercy flights in there. So they are aware of our concerns.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Crack filling at the north end of the taxiway will happen next year. The reconstruction project is for the entire south end up to midfield and including the apron to go all the way up to where the hangars are. The north end, we have some substantial cracking out there. We're going to take care of that on our own. We just recently hired a transportation service worker. We've been trying to get one of those all last year, and we just hired one, so we have the manpower now to make that happen. So we will be doing that on our own come springtime.
On your own within the airport department or within
yes.
the road department?
Collectively between the two.
Okay. And how bad is it out there? I know it's not good.
No, there's some pretty significant cracks out there.
And when you say this next year, how soon do you, is it weather dependent?
We need it, but it'll be in the springtime because it needs to be relatively warm, so because you're going to be dealing with.
And will it conflict with the reconstruction?
No, we will be at the other end of the airfield.
Okay. Thank you.
The construction is slated for 17 weeks. We're expecting it to start in the springtime. Our consultants has reached out to the contractor to make sure that they were going to hold their cost, and they said they would. The only thing that may increase would be the cost of the asphalt, and that's market driven. But as far as they said that their wages and everything else, as far as the contract's concerned, they would be willing to hold their wages and the cost. So we're not anticipating the cost of the project to increase.
And how will that affect 17 weeks if they start, April 1 or March 1? They should avoid the fire season altogether, is that correct?
That is correct. That is your objective.
Okay.
Yes. Siskiyou County Airport, we're currently working with our consultants on updating the airport layout plan, the ALP, and the pavement management plan, the PMMP. The FAA has expressed that our critical aircraft for Siskiyou County Airport is the King Air size aircraft. Critical aircraft is determined by combined minimum 500 takeoffs or landings annually. Critical aircraft determines the length and width of a runway and taxiway. If our critical aircraft size does not increase, then it's time, and when it's time for a runway and taxiway reconstruction, the FAA will only fund up to 4,100 feet long and 75 feet wide runway versus the current 7,490 long by 150 foot wide runway. So more on this as we progress in the slides here, but that CAL FIRE and the U.S. Forest Service both require 6,000 feet long by 150 feet wide firefighting C-130 aircraft when they're using the tanker base. So the concern is that in the eyes of the FAA is that your airport doesn't warrant that long of a runway and that wide of a runway because you don't have the critical use. That's what the language that they're using. There's a couple things that we have been doing is we've been discussing with the Forest Service as well as CAL FIRE, and they're the ones that provided us the information that 6,000 feet and 150 foot wide airfield is going to be required to continue with our current firefighting efforts.
Well, just a comment. Pardon me, the FAA doesn't determine public safety only at the airport. I mean, that's critical.
Yes, sir.
In my communities on the west side of this county, that be maintained for fire suppression.
So later in the presentation, we're going to bring this back up a little bit more information, sir.
Okay.
We agree with you. And what can we do to increase our critical aircraft? First, I'd like to read the definition of the FAA's version of critical aircraft. And it's the most demanding size of aircraft with at least 500 annual operations, landings, or takeoffs. So if an airplane lands and takes off, that's two. The operation or is expected to operate at the airport. So the way that they gathered that information is based off of the based aircraft that's out there and some historical data. And we really didn't have the resources to provide them what we would call accurate information. So we have just recently obtained and purchased something called Vert Tower, and it is an airport operations tracking system. And it is, several airports have used this system because it gives them the firepower just specifically for this reason, to provide information to the FAA on just how active their airport is. So it'll track all aircraft coming in and out on, as well as their sizes and so forth. So that will go into effect in about the next week.
And is that just specific for Siskiyou, or is that for all airports?
Siskiyou we're using as a test platform, and if it works as well as we're anticipating it's going to, then we're going to include it into the Weed Airport, and then we'll possibly into the Scott Valley Airport.
And is there the potential of realizing lost revenue through this as well?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because I don't think anybody is out there saying how many landings are coming in at any airport anywhere in the county. Is that correct?
That's that, yeah.
It's on the honor system?
It's on the honor system.
Yeah.
Yes. So what can we do to increase our critical aircraft size? A couple things. Like I said, we purchased the Vertow Airport Operation Tracking System. That'll go online probably within the next week. We're working with the local Forest Service to host tanker pilot training at the Siskiyou County Airport this spring. This training is typically done down in Redding. The Joint Military Base Lewis and McChord has expressed interest in using Siskiyou County Airport in a low-level parachute drop assault training. So we're hopeful that we can bring all that online. That way it'll increase our critical aircraft. Happy Camp Airport. The land itself is owned by the Forest Service and operated by the County of Siskiyou. Happy Camp Airport was closed to the public in May of 2022. The current special use permit between the Forest Service and Siskiyou County will expire December 31st, 2028. The Forest Service indicated once the land use agreement expires, the land will need to be returned back to its original state, specifically the removal of the runway, taxiway, and apron. So that potentially will be coming back to the board, because if that in fact happens, that's going to be quite the expense. But we have been gathering some information that to rebuttal that. So if everything works out well, we won't have to cross that bridge as far as the removal of the runway, the taxiway. But we wanted the board to know that potentially that's a possibility. Next slide, please. So Siskiyou County Airport, this before you is a list of the sources of revenue that is expected in 2023. The bunkers, $11,500. The undeveloped land, $48,300. Storage, so forth, 12 ground leases, 8 hangar leases, agricultural land, fuel, use permits, landings, CAL FIRE use, United States Forest Service use, as far as the lease of the tanker base itself, and then the revenue that was earned based off of the operations of the tanker base. California aid to airports program, monies came in, the AIP federal to Weed Airport. That money, you can see that those are in red. That indicates that money, this money was designated for Siskiyou County Airport, but we moved it to the Weed Airport to help offset the cost of this upcoming reconstruction project. With a soft total of $532,190, minus that AIP and AID money, with $269,190. So keeping in mind that we also have these projects coming down the line for Siskiyou County Airport, so the revenues that we're earning is a large percentage that will be going towards that. Scott Valley Airport, 15 ground leases, 2 hangar leases, agricultural lease, fuel, the landing, no CAL FIRE presence, Forest Service lease. Right now the base out there, the revenue we're earning on that is $1 a year. Working on that, that's going to be changing. I'm working with the Forest Service on that. The Forest Service, as far as landing fees and so forth, of the helicopters, that was at $40,500. California Aid to Airports program, that was $10,000. That's from the state. AIP, AID money, the $150,000, $145,000. And again, those are in red. That money was moved to the Weed project to help offset the costs for the reconstruction.
So between the two, it sounds like there's more there than, because I thought the cost was, what was it for the Weed Airport?
Around phase one is $4 million.
I know, but the out of pocket.
I'm going to get to that here in just a minute, sir. The Weed Airport, the FBO leased, with revenue, the 16 ground leases, 1 hangar lease, the fuel, the landings, again, the State California Aid Airports program, and the AIP, AIG money for that airport. And with all the additional AIP and AIG money coming in from the other airports, we have a total of $851,983.28.
I take it at some point you're going to give us the expense side and you're going to tell us on the profit and loss. Are we making money or not?
Oh, we're making money.
All right.
Yes, sir. But these projects are expensive, the reconstruction projects. And then once we, because Weed Airport's just phase one, then we have phase two, which will to close it out. And then right behind it will be the Siskiyou County Airport coming in on that. So these high dollar projects are coming in from one behind one another. But the good thing of it is that some of that cost is offset by the FAA. So the Butte Valley Airport, not much going on out there. I mean, there's one hangar. It's $254.67. There was no use of it for fire activity this year. So the only other money that was brought in was the California Aid to Airports program. That was $10,000. So in the pot is a $10,254.67 of revenue being earned this in 2023. But keep in mind, with the $12,000 we already had from the fire season, that's going to go towards the runway painting and the crack sealing. So before we get to the last slide, I want to provide some further information. So for the Weed Airport, like you said, the grand total for phase one was $4,437,727. The AIP money that was collected from the other airports coming in was $1,050,000. And at the last minute, the FAA contacted us and said that Dunsmuir was unable to use $750,000 of their money because they weren't ready to use it. It's one of those things you got to be ready to use or you lose it. So they surrendered it, and the FAA said, we know you got a weed project going on, would you like $750,000? And we said, yes, we would. So we're getting $750,000 extra money that came from the Dunsmuir Airport. Our matching dollars is $293,773. The state matching is $150,000. So that total is $2,243,773. And then that offset cost of the FAA's paying towards that project is $2,193,954. And that equals that $4,437,727. So, with that being said, the AIG money was commonly known as the Bill money. That is the Airport Infrastructure Grant. That is a three-year pot of money that comes in, and we will get our last AIG money will come in 2024. It started in 2022. We'll get the last one will be in 2024. The AIP money itself, the Airport Improvement Plan, that is something that's constant that we get every year. And it averages anywhere between $150,000 for Scott Valley, Siskiyou County Airport, and the Weed Airport. And the last slide is our consultants, Kim Lee and Horn and Ford Aviation. After the new year of 2024, our consultants will brief the Board of Supervisors further on the Siskiyou County Airport runway and taxiway. They're going to be specifically talking about the length of the runway, and they'll have actually dollar figures. We already know that the FAA says that we're only going to potentially fund you up to 4,100 feet and 75 feet wide. So if we want to keep our existing runway, almost 7,500 feet and 150 feet wide, they'll have the information and the dollar figures there. Also, CAL FIRE and the Forest Service will be present as well, the aviation side, so they can speak to their needs for the Siskiyou County Airport. As I said before, that the minimum we could go down to is 6,000, and nobody's in a fan of that as well, but anything beyond 4,100 is going to be potentially at our expense because the FAA says they will not fund it. The good thing about it is we have a couple, 3 years to gather data from our vert tower. If we can recruit the bigger aircraft to come in to do some landings and do some training, we can provide the information to the FAA where our critical aircraft size will go up, which will support having a longer runway. So right now, tentatively, our consultants are waiting for this board meeting. We're proposing that they come in to brief the board on the Siskiyou County Airport runway mid-January or possibly February. Does the board have a preference?
The sooner the better.
The sooner is always better on this kind of thing.
Okay, so January?
Yep. Okay. Maybe the second meeting?
But what I'll be more interested in, I don't want to hear from the consultants how we're gonna come up with the money. Consultants are hired to get the money for us with the FAA. And I want to know why the FAA, all of a sudden, even with the formula you've presented, nothing against what you were telling me, but they've been funding that airport for how long? At the length that it is now, and then all of a sudden they're going to cut it almost in half. There's more behind the scenes to me that's going on than meets the eye, and we're not going to get stuck with, you know, how do I say, when an unfunded mandate that the state of California throws on us from the federal government. they've been funding it. They need to figure out, you know, we're the hot spot for fire in the Northern California, and they want to cut this runway to where we can't even fight fire. So that will be more what I want to hear from the consultant about how we're going to keep it and not at our expense.
Yes, sir. I would like to add, in addition to that, because we've talked in great lengths with the FAA's, our old team. Our new team, we haven't had this conversation yet. But our old teams, their thought is it's all about cost. Okay? The FAA is looking at cutting money. And their view is well, if the Forest Service needs to have that long of a runway, then they need to pony up the money to get you that long runway. As far as general aviation is concerned, you only warrant 4,100 feet. That's why we're trying to get our critical aircraft size up, and this Vertile will help us do that. We're hopeful we can hit that pinnacle mark of 500, and we're on the same team, sir.
No, understood.
We're with you.
Understood. But I want you to communicate that to the consultant.
Yes,
too often they get paid, and they come in, give us bad news with no sign of being able to fix the problem. And that's, to me, what we hire for.
Okay.
Very good.
I find it's quite rich. The federal government's worried about spending money.
Yeah.
But I'll leave that alone right now. I want to go back to Happy Camp.
Yes, sir.
A couple things about Happy Camp. One, when this board made that decision to close that airport down there, there was a disclosure of amount of money we had to pay back that was given us from the FAA to maintain that airport. I want to know if it was forgiven, was it paid back, or where's that money coming from?
That just recently surfaced. So that dollar amount is $57,272. So when it was first discussed back when Jason was the director and he was working with the state, he walked out of that conversation with the understanding that $57,272 would be waived, right?
That's what's my understanding, but I don't know that it's ever happened.
It has not.
No.
We just recently was contacted last week by the California Department of Caltrans and Division of Aeronautics and said, hey, your airport's been closed since May of 2022. You owe us $57,272, and you actually need to send us a letter asking us to revoke the permit. So obviously that put everybody into scramble mode and like, wait a minute, where'd this come from? So after several other conversations and emails, without a promise, there's all indications from the people that are going to be part of the decision process that they are going to waive it. They will waive it. But they cannot give us a definitive answer until we officially ask for the state to revoke our permit, airport permit up there. Now that's a double-edged sword. Once we revoke that permit, then the Forest Service is going to say, well, we're going to pull back your special use permit that's due to expire in 2028. Mm-hmm. And now we need to start talking about removing that runway in April. So, more to follow, more to come.
So, sometime in the future, I guess what I'd like is a full disclosure of what it's going to cost to close that airport. This board ignored me when I said during its closure the Forest Service through the federal acquisition regulations is going to require that land be reclaimed back to national forest character. I don't know how you're going to get around that, honestly, but I'd sure like to see the figure,
yes, sir,
the dollar figure, so that this board knows the full transparency of the decision they made.
Sir, if I may add quickly, is from doing research, the Forest Service is the one to put the runway there. I have that in writing. I have it in writing. And
sorry.
I've shared that with council.
It's complicated.
And Dana's reviewed it as well. So the the Forest Service put the runway down, so our counter-argument out the gate is that, yeah, we'll be more than happy to give it back to you in its original condition, but we're not the one to put the runway there. We may have done maintenance on it, but therefore, that's going to be our argument out the gate. There hasn't been much discussion. There's really no interest from the Forest Service side to really open that can of worms again. They even went to the point of saying, if you want to renew your special use permit after 2028, we'll be more than happy to do that, right? But if the state requires us to pull the permit, then we can't even call it an airport.
Yeah,
we don't have a permit to operate an airport, even though we have it closed.
I understand the process really well, and it's kind of like Smyrna for us. You pull the permit, they won't have a choice.
Yes, sir.
And that's why I said I'd like to see the cost.
Okay. All right.
Through the chair, just to add on to that, one of the things that was presented to this board during that time as well is the cost of removing the trees that were interfering with landing, which was a liability as well. And that figure was a couple hundred thousand dollars. And so that's what brought this to a, what are we going to do with this airport? Are we going to continue to maintain it or not? So, I understand Supervisor Haupt's remarks, but there's costs all the way around on this thing, and we just have to find out literally the best place to land.
Yes, sir.
Supervisor Christian?
Yeah, one question. I had two things on this one. When was the vote on the Happy Camp closure? Was it in 2016?
It was 15-16.
15-16, yeah. Okay.
My first year.
I'm trying to recall what the vote was on for the Siskiyou Airport in regards to the length of the runway and those sorts of factors. I recognize that consultants may come in and say that they're FAA experts, and so they look at FAA funding. There may be sources of possible funding in regards to public safety, fire protection or anything like that. There may be other possible things we're not looking at. If we look purely at the FAA model and say this is the money we need to have, we might be limiting ourselves. There might be other possible things that we fill in that for public safety needs. Of course, I don't know those enough to know it, but I'd be interested in one of those aspects. Not just for West, but also for East County, that, or North or South, that airport's critical for time turnaround. For Butte Valley, I know there wasn't much action this year, but it was really welcomed by the locals because it wasn't smoke. So it was really, but when it is needed, it's really needed. That was very busy when we had the fire season. We hope it doesn't happen, but Bald Mountain can always blow up one of these days, and so when it is needed. And then for public safety, for ambulance transports, they typically meet in the helicopter there at that base. It's secure. It's easy to safe for them to fly into. Any kind of weather conditions that they can fly in, so as a public safety component as well.
I would like to close with.
We're not done yet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You go ahead and say your comments. We've got the rest of the board.
The as far as availability of hangars and stuff like that, everything is full at all the airports. There is nothing available. We couldn't bring in another tenant if we wanted to. We'd have to build something in order to do that. So.
Don't they normally build? Yeah.
Or they would lease the land, yeah. Or they would build a hangar on it as well. So but nothing is empty. I'm sorry, Ben.
Thanks for working so hard to make sure these airports are running and are efficient and are hopefully making money for this county, because they are critical for what we need, not only for public safety, for public transportation, and hopefully economic growth for this county. As far as Siskiyou County Airport goes, you both know I was at that meeting with Kim Lee Horn and Ford Aviation and pushed so hard to make sure that we did not lose any length on that runway. So that is paramount, to make sure that we can keep as much length on that as possible. So whatever it takes, please do not lose momentum on that, and make sure that whatever team it is comes in here and talks to us. And as my colleague said, whatever it takes to make sure that we can keep that and make sure that they do their job, and hopefully we won't have to come up with the money, because it's already there. We shouldn't have to. It should be up to the FAA or wherever it comes from to make sure that it stays and is maintained and it can make us money and keep the public safe. That is paramount. That's it.
So I'm not convinced that we're making money operating the airports. I think there's a reason why we shut down the airports and we can't maintain what we got. And you know, having said that, I mean, there are, I think, you know, we use the weed and the county airport out there are you know, critical to, you know, I think the fire season, those kind of things, and possibly commercial development at weed. The other ones, you know, I didn't see the expense side of the equation. I saw the revenue side. I didn't see the expense side, what it's costing us to maintain. It's general fund dollars that are being spent to operate the airports, right?
No.
They're not?
It's not general fund, no.
Okay, so.
No, and we're not losing money. I wish we would have done it.
Yeah.
The expense.
See,
side,
that's brand new news to me, which I'm happy to hear.
Yes.
I mean, you know,
it is great news.
Money, that's a good, that's the plus side of the equation. Because I've long thought that, you know, there's a county airport out there, that, you know, there's potential for development out there. I mean, we don't have the capacity at the moment, I would think, to vet that, but you know, with CAL FIRE wants to set up operation. The last time we did a tour, it's kind of a decrepit place. I mean, you know, it just needs, there's no maintenance dollars that are being done to that. I'm still not convinced that we should be in the airport business. I mean, that's just, that's a lot of staff time, a lot of, you know, again, this is new information to me that we are making money on airports.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a quick, go back. I want to go back to Scott Valley. So the Forest Service made a decision this year. 502 Teletech's always been at Scott Valley. But they made a decision to move 501 to the city camp, where at the airport, to Scott Valley this year. Did we see an increase in fees through the Forest Service, or is there a mechanism to do that?
We did. That was part of that $40,500.
Okay.
Previous to this last year, we weren't making any money because what was happening was is the Forest Service was renting the land adjacent to the airport to the Hanna brothers, and they were recouping all this money. So that's why we pulled back 12 acres of the agricultural land that's on the airport itself and told the Forest Service, you need to have places to land helicopters. We have 12 acres for you to do that. And they said, roger that. And that's where the $40,500 came in last year. Because of they moved the helicopter from Happy Camp, that's what started them thinking, we would like to have a couple helicopter pads to support that. So we're working with them right there, which opens up the lease, the dollar a year lease, which will bring us at least $40,000 to $50,000 in revenue alone. Once that lease, we get that negotiated out.
Okay, and has that 12-acre lease solved the FAA's concern with over-the-fence operations?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, it
right.
does.
Thank you. Thank
okay,
you.
Before I close, I want to see if there's any public comment on the subject.
Sean
Mellon
Lane.
Okay, thanks for coming.
Okay, thank you.
We can move on to item 7E, Health and Human Services.
Oh,
I'm sorry. We're going to do D real quick. I'm sorry.
Which is the yes contract.
Oh, it's still the same.
It's the same.
Yeah. Don't come on up. It's going to be the contract of youth empowerment dispute.
Okay.
Item D.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sarah Collard, Health and Human Services. Here to answer questions about the yes contract.
It's the one that was pulled at the last meeting.
You were going to bring back the scope of services that
The scope of services. So, yes, this year we'll be providing, and this is spelled out in the contract, but I will give you more detail, access and linkage, prevention and outreach services. So under access and linkage, they do screenings for us using the ACEs and the Columbia Depression Scale, and they make referrals to our agency, to the managed care plan, but also to other services in the community, social services, the family resource centers, and they provide, they will be opening a youth drop-in center, and will be providing those services out of the drop-in center, and they will be providing peer-based case management services as well under Access and Engage. So a case manager to help people, help youth connect with services that they may need. Prevention services will include wellness and action recovery plan facilitation. So this WRAP is a service that, or it's a process whereby people identify what they may need if they were in crisis and the services that they would want to be pulled in. And so then they develop an organized plan around that and then have that with them in case they are having a difficult time. They will do wellness-based life skills workshop and circle support groups, which is those types of groups are also provided throughout the community, primarily out of the FRCs. And then they plan for Mental Health Awareness Month, which is in May. They will host a one or two open house or mental health awareness events. So that is what they have planned for this year. I'm happy to answer any questions.
And are they a local organization?
They are.
They are. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'll have one question. Outlying areas, of course, you think about these, the East County or West County.
Sure.
I know your counties, I know your department's already doing outreach in Tula Lake for the health fairs there and whatnot. How would this be applied for like McLeod or Tula Lake or Happy Camp?
So these services specifically target both homeless youth and youth that touch the child welfare system, so foster youth. Yes, also oversees the CASA program, which I imagine you're familiar with. So to the extent that a youth from East County or McLeod were to touch either of those systems, they could potentially receive services here. I mean, any youth can, but they may end up, you know, in a different home, for instance, if they're in foster care. We make a concerted effort, as I think you know, to contract with providers who provide services similar to this in all of the outlying areas. So we contract with the resource center in Tule Lake and in Happy Camp and, you know, wherever resource centers are located, so that similar services, certainly access and linkage of prevention and outreach, broadly speaking, are available in all of those areas. And one of the driving factors for MHSA is that the services are determined, are driven by local concerns, and so what is important in Tule Lake may not be a service that makes a lot of sense in another community, so services are tailored. You know, we have Promotoras, which is in East County, which is links monolingual Spanish speakers to services. So that doesn't make a lot of sense in a lot of our other communities, but we really try and tailor services in communities to the specific needs of those communities.
Yes, you're fully. Thank
you. Other questions?
Anyone else?
Follow. Yep. So if I heard that correctly, this contract would be basically for services based in Yreka?
This contract, yes, but we have other prevention and early intervention contracts throughout the county.
That provide the same service?
Yes, again, broadly speaking, prevention and early intervention. We contract with the schools for early intervention. That's specific to them, but all of the other contracts include stigma reduction, which isn't here, access and linkage, prevention, and the other one, outreach around mental health issues.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anyone else?
I guess what I was looking for is specificity in the events and articulating something related to age-appropriate events that this group holds, given some things that were reported to me last year. And I don't see that anywhere in the agreement.
So I think I'm aware of the events that you're speaking to. Those were not funded by MHSA, so I can't really speak to those events. But, you know, I think...
But money's fungible.
Yes. So they provide event. They provide services to youth typically 12 to 24 or 21, and they tailor services to, you know, to that age group. So they, you know, when they do mental health presentations, for instance, for outreach, for outreach, they will, you know, develop materials that are age appropriate for that group. I know that doesn't really answer your question, so I'm happy to share with you, you know, more specifically. I think they have, like, dialed in all of the details of those events because, for instance, that event is in the spring because May is Mental Health Month.
Yeah, I guess what it comes down to is this group is asking me for trust, which I don't have.
If there's any way we can help with that.
Okay, the board's wishes. Is it here all day? Move to approve.
A second.
Okay, Supervisor Help?
No.
Supervisor Kopseth?
No.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to item E.
Sarah Collard again from Health and Human Services, and joining me is Kirk Hendricks, who is the Deputy Director of Administrative Services for the Social Services Division. And we are back with the JANCO contract to include the not to exceed for the term of the contract at the request of the board.
Okay, good. And then Chair Valenzuela, I already notified you. I'm used to work for a lot of janitorial business, so of course you'll have to recuse myself of this.
Russell Levine.
Do you work for this action?
He's in here.
He's in here.
So at the board's request, we are back with the contract for JANCO West to include a not to exceed amount of $744,049.90 for the term of the contract. So we're happy to answer any other questions.
Any questions or issues for the board?
So what I noticed, I'm looking at what's in here, but it's on the cost. There's a graph cost in the contract, I think it is. Here it is. And the 5-year contract, where it starts out in 23-24, I'm taking it that that's a partial year.
Yes.
Why it's so low?
Starting December 6th through June 30th.
Okay. And then I'm looking at, I guess there'll be, you know, a full year on 24, 25. But what's the cost of increase that's going over the next 4 years? Because we're adding what? 24.
So each July will have an increase depending on the CPI for June.
So what's this calculation?
We did the maximum of 5%. So if CPI is above 5, we won't increase it more than the 5%.
And if it's below 5?
It'll go to whatever the CPI is.
So if it's 3%, it'll go to 3%?
Yes, sir.
And how will we track that?
It'll be based on the CPI in June of each fiscal year, and it'll take effect in July.
Understood, but don't take this the wrong way.
No, no.
When the board approves something, that's it. We never see it again, usually. So how will we know that that's being done?
I would say when we submit the contract to re-encumber the next fiscal year in the auditor's office, that would be something they would track. They will track as well as us.
Okay. I guess the only thing I would ask is that you might apprise the board on the renewal, well, on each year ending,
okay,
if that went up or down, so
okay,
that we can actually verify that it took place. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
A lot, otherwise, we're never going to remember it. So.
We're happy to do that. We'll
thank
make
you.
A note.
Any other initial questions? Mr. Jones, you want to come and speak to the subject?
if I could make a note that the clerk's office received email yesterday from Joshua Jones, and it was forwarded to the board members and to Health and Human Services.
Okay.
And then there's other paperwork he submitted as well.
Mr. Joseph.
Well, thank you, Honorable Chair. I appreciate you taking the time. Las Vegas, Nevada. Salt Lake City, Utah. Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. What do all of these cities have in common with this contract? They're all the same distance away. Why are we awarding a contract to a company who might as well be from another country? If that door was stuck, we would call a local locksmith. If the sewage backed up on Lane Street into the basement of this building, flooding the elevator shaft with 3 feet of sewage, you would call me. I would be here in a matter of minutes. I would have the sewage sucked out of the elevator shaft and the entire basement sanitized in a matter of hours. That happened just last year. This contract is unprecedented. This is the largest janitorial contract in Siskiyou County history. And it's being awarded to a company that no one has ever heard of, who has never held a contract in this area, who has no employees in this area, who has no relationship with this community whatsoever. And I've gotten no explanation. Why? Why should Siskiyou County dropship $800,000 to the Metro of LA? Look with me at attachment one and exhibit A in the contract. Attachment A1 is deceptive. It veils the costs and hides the reality, and it also does, if you look with me in the contract, for Bronco West.
Exhibit A.
Can I forgive me, because I got all this at the last minute.
I'm
so
very sorry.
You might as well take your time there.
I'm looking at what's on the agenda.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yes, Bronco West contract.
Yep.
There are some attachments. One is called Exhibit A. The other is called Exhibit A1. You referenced the table that has the step increases annually. And then there's also an attachment from the proposal, which I assume is from the proposal of Bronco West. It is very deceptive in that there are some costs there that are just absurd. $250,000 to clean the carpets. $500,000 to take out the trash. And that's not everything. There's another building coming in just a couple months. Wellness has leased a new building, and it will be rolled over into this contract in January, increasing this from 800 to 9. And in Exhibit A, page 4, you'll see that there are these rate increases included in the contract. So what you have before you, this contract, isn't even the total cost. Would Riverside, California roll out the red carpet for Jones Janitorial? I know that they wouldn't. They wouldn't give me any preference at all. Look with me at Jones Janitorial's proposal and Easy Janitorial's proposal. I've indexed the pages for you so that way you can get a quick reference. This contract with Bronco West is by far the most expensive proposal put forward. Not by a little bit. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'll tell you a story. It wasn't included in my speech here. I'm standing behind an elderly woman at the grocery store just this weekend. She's got 10 items on the belt there. And I overhear her telling the cashier that she's having to limit her food budget. She's only got 10 items. She can't afford to buy everything that she needs this month, so she's having to scrounge by. We have people in our own communities that can't even put groceries in their cart, but we are writing just gift wrapping $1 million contract to some tiny little cleaning company out of Los Angeles. Kirk Hendricks stood up here 3 weeks ago and told you that local preference was included in the evaluation process. But the attachment to this contract today, Human Services says, we don't have to. After being directed by the board to provide local preference, it is in the policy manual. If you look at the Siskiyou County Policy Procurement Manual, it is in every single section. Why? Why did the writers of that policy manual write it in there? Is it the letter of the law, or is it the spirit of the law? I would say it's both. I believe they wrote it into that manual because it's the spirit behind local preference. It's neighbors helping neighbors. Are we going to prioritize local businesses, local vendors? I believe that that is the conclusion today. There's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity to establish a precedent with the decision that's before us, before you. Are we going to prioritize reputable, qualified, reasonable vendors? Or are we going to open up the floodgates from Mexico to Canada to the Rocky Mountains and watch our local businesses just get undercut and destroyed by contractors from everywhere? So I ask that you please give this contract some consideration. I think the magnitude deserves a pause. I've filed my protest. I've filed my objection. I've been stonewalled and forced to come before you today. I do not feel that this is an appropriate forum for a substantive discussion, but I've been left with no other option.
Okay, thank you. Bring it back to the board for discussion. Would you like to start? Or you tell the Human Services guys whether you come up with cases, any questions? Or
may I add a couple points for
clarification? Please, absolutely.
First of all, we are committed to supporting the community in every way that we can, but we, because we receive federal funding, are prohibited from considering local preference in our RFP process. So that's one thing that we would like to share with you. And the second is that the Wellness Center is moving and will be pursuing their own contract with a separate vendor. So we don't plan to include their services provided to that site in this contract in the future.
Anything else? So, is there any questions?
Has your department and has your procurement person been trained in the procedures that are given throughout the county for procurement policy?
So there is a new procurement policy. It's new. So we have done some training on that. One of our goals is to have a more comprehensive training, and we will be requesting that from our friend Anna here in the future. I think it would be really helpful, but we do follow the policy and we consult with county council when there are questions. So I feel like we both follow the policy and received good guidance.
So you feel that the procedure that your department went through is consistent with what everybody else in the county is doing?
I can't speak for everyone else in the county. I would say it's consistent within our agency and we follow the policy.
And it was double checked by council before
yes,
it went
out.
Yes,
I think they work closely with council through the process. And as you know, I'm sure, it's reviewed. It has several layers of review. So all RFPs go through county council and through the CAO's office for review prior to posting.
Just so you know, the Spartan's in the office.
Yes,
adequate support throughout the entire RFP process from beginning to end.
Okay. So, and I remember a comment before that was made that perhaps the vendor in question did not receive a letter of intent, either way, that they were not notified, that they did not get a bid, or...
We sent that letter.
So
we're
do
happy
you
to
send letters
it, yes.
either way?
Yes, we do.
Okay,
and
so
we,
that's
we have that letter
there.
And we'll share.
Okay. I guess one of the other questions that, or comments that comes to my mind is that, personally, I think competition is a good thing. There's no reason that a number of bids cannot go out at any given time for any different service. And it's always good to keep everybody on their toes. There's no reason to have a monopoly in any town. I don't care whether it's big or small. Price is always something to consider, but service is always something to consider. So if and no offense to anybody in the room, but if service isn't up to par or you're looking for something different, then by all means, go look for something different. So I don't think that price should be the only thing you're looking for. So with that, I think the procurement process is just that, looking for the best product, not always the lowest price. So I will leave it at that for now.
Thanks. Thank you for the specificity that I asked for. I lost my microphone.
Not you.
As with a lot of decisions, sometimes I think somebody in the room has something I don't know. Are there service delivery differences or performance differences between the two bidders?
We haven't worked, I'm not sure what you're asking.
I'm just trying to figure out why one company would be a better service for the money than another.
Inside of the contract, I would say they were all the proposals were all the same services. Again, we haven't worked with the new vendor Johnco yet, so I can't speak to how their services will be.
Performance is about the same.
We haven't worked with them yet. Once okay. we've had an opportunity to work with them, we're happy to.
But you have references.
Yes.
Yes.
And we followed up with references.
So if I could just ask within that, there's performance standards. So, I mean, I guess trying to piggyback on what Mr. Happel was saying, I mean, someone's not doing the job, how does that weigh in when you're doing an evaluation? Does it factor in when you're, when you're looking at just strictly the matrix? Because I saw on the three, there's the one that's being awarded as the highest, so to speak.
Yes.
How do we account for the one that's been doing the job, so to speak? I guess I don't see the flexibility in how this process is working, I guess, what kind of
does. Right, there's not a lot of flexibility.
So, discuss it.
I guess, the amount that Mr. Jones talked about, I understand what he's saying, but the total contract is for $744,000 and some odd over 4.5 years from what I can see. I don't want to make it sound like it was a yearly one because it, to me, at least it reflected that at the beginning. So
for
I just want
sites.
That for clarification.
For five sites, we have several buildings.
Right,
then.
Right. But it's over
yes.
what I'm seeing, like 4.5 years. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
And if performance, should the board award this or approve this contract, and performance wasn't up to standard on this contract, what's your offering?
That would be a discussion we would have to have at that moment. We would get the management team together and have a meeting.
But there's an off-ramp in the contract?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, because that was going to be my next question. If someone's not doing the job, how do you cancel and move on to the, you know, go back to the process?
Right, so we work with all of our providers to resolve issues as they come up, but if they're not resolvable, yes, we would certainly terminate the contract.
Okay. Any other final thoughts? Okay, the board's wishes? Well, let me ask this real quick. Is there any public comment? Anyone online?
Showing none online.
And as the one thought that comes to mind, is that, you know, I'm all for mobile, trying to provide all that. But, you
so
know,
are we.
You know, what I don't understand is how enough it, and I'm reminded of, this goes back to my working days when the state of California awarded a contract along the highway right here in Wairika for Benson, was outfit out of Utah, and they were able to come in and underbid the local deal. So this is not unique to what we're dealing with now. My preference, all things being equal, if the numbers were equal, it would be a no-brainer, right?
Yes.
Well, obviously, I got to follow a process. Like, you know, it's not fair for you to pick and choose. Otherwise, you know, you would probably never get the best value for your dollar, I guess. Yeah. Anyways, board's wishes. Anyone would like to make the recommended motion?
I'll make the recommended motion.
Do I have a motion? I'll second for moving this along.
Okay. Ready for roll call?
Yes.
Supervisor Howell?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay. Sorry,
thank
Mr.
You.
Jones.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Barton, for being here. Okay, on to, what's the next one? Item F.
Back. All right, thank you.
So now that we read County Council, item 7F is an ordinance for screening, repealing the public records fee ordinance. The subject ordinance was adopted in 2021 to allow for fuller cost recovery of staff time and costs associated with responding to Public Records Act requests. It's my understanding that at this time, the ordinance is not being utilized by the county, and recently other local jurisdictions who have adopted ordinances like this, similar but not the same, have had challenge by ACLU and First Amendment Coalition. Given that the ordinance is not in use, council is recommending repeal of this ordinance until there is further clarity in the law about this type of public record.
Okay, any discussion from the board?
So there's no discussion, so then.
Just real quick. Thank you, Supervisor. So they're going to get a free quiet on public record?
The Public Records Act, Act allows for the recovery of direct duplication
direct
costs.
Direct costs.
So, yeah, usually departments will do a fee study for that, and then we recover that way. This particular ordinance was going beyond that
right.
And
okay.
To recover for
okay.
Staff time.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor Chris?
That's the motion in place.
Thank you.
And we don't have time, of course, for December 12th, but we have time to hear this on first meeting in January, which I believe is the second.
Okey-dokey.
For the second meeting.
Second.
Thank you. So January 2. All righty. Supervisor Hope?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
No.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay. Did we have a break? Did you?
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah,
I'm okay. Let me just I'm made flood control. We're convened as the Flood Control Water Conservation District. Is there any public comment?
Showing none online.
Consent agenda?
Move to approve.
Second
with discussion.
Second with discussion. George Howe.
I just want to compliment Matt Parker and his work on this, on the letter. It was excellent to the point, and my perspective with the water board on notice that they have the potential of usurping our authority and our ability to implement the GSP going forward. I appreciate the work.
Okay. Ready?
All righty. Director Hill.
Aye.
Excuse me, Director Kopsiv.
Aye.
Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela.
We're going to adjourn as the Flood Control Water Conservation District and convene as County Service Area 4. Any public comment?
Showing none on one.
Minute approval.
No changes.
Move to approve.
Second.
All righty. Director Hill.
Aye.
Director Kopsiv.
Aye.
Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela.
Yes. We're going to adjourn as County Service Area 4. Come back and look. Board of Supervisors, to appointments, 10A.
Okay, I've got a few of these.
We'll start down the line, A, B, C, D.
Yep. The first one here is an appointment of one member to a scheduled vacancy on the County Service Area 3 Advisory Committee. This would be a member-at-large representative, and it's a term ending January 10 of 2026. And this is one that we did have somebody in currently, Tom Hastings, but unfortunately, the clerks haven't heard back officially from him that he's interested in continuing. If we could continue this to the 12th, I'll follow up with OES and see if we can get that taken care of.
You want to do that for the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll try to reach out.
That'd be great. I just, on the clerk's end, we want to make sure that the person is actually interested.
I don't want to put him on there in front of back. I think he wrote a check.
We hate to jump the gun.
Item B.
All righty. The item B is an appointment of a member to a scheduled vacancy on the Superior California Economic Development District, SCED. This would be for a public member representative, the county's public member representative. This came to light because I was going through and cleaning up some of our vacancies and noticed that they don't have any term limits, so I didn't know if this person that was in my book paperwork was still active. Mm-hmm. Got a hold of SCED and they said, oh no, that person's not there, you have an open position. I said, okay, let's fill it. So I didn't get any letters of interest from anybody other than SCED notified us that Tanya Douse, who's already SCED's public member, is willing to become the county's public member, and then SCED can appoint to fill that position. I hope that's clear.
Not quite.
Not
so,
quite.
So there is going to be another opening, public member opening.
That SCED can appoint to.
Gotcha.
This would be just for
the
county's
county.
One
okay.
public member.
Okay.
And Tanya is willing to fill that position.
She wants to fill the county's
Tanya
okay,
Dallas.
I think we got it.
Okay.
Any questions?
She's been an active
Yeah. If you go to the website, she's on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is just basically changing one position
okay.
to open the other one.
So okay. moved.
Second.
To appoint Tanya?
Yeah.
That's correct.
And was that Kopsiv for the second? Thank you. All righty. Supervisor Hall. Supervisor Kopsiv.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Righty. The next one we have is Shasta Valley Resource Conservation District. This was a scheduled vacancy that was posted earlier in the year. It was continued, but I did a reposting just to make sure that the notification was out there. This is a vacant position, but Michael Luis is interested in continuing. He was officially in that position. It's just basically reappointing him if you are interested in doing that.
So moved to reappoint.
Thank you.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Excuse me. Supervisor Kopsiv.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
All righty. And then the last one it looks like here. This is when this was an actual unscheduled vacancy on the Siskiyou Resource Conservation District. It was due to Rick Costales resigning. This would be for a term ending November 26th of 2026. At this point, the clerk's office has not received any letters of interest, and I haven't heard anything from the board on their end. If we could continue this one to give a little bit more time, see if we can find somebody to fill that.
Sure.
Thank
sure.
you. Be it on appointments.
That's it. Okay, we're going to move on to item 11, minute approval.
And I've heard no corrections for either.
I take it we can do both at the same time?
Correct.
So moved.
Sorry. Let's do 14th. I was absent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So shall we do November
okay,
7th?
Yep.
Okay.
second on the 7th if you don't have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I think I got Ogre okay. for a second. Right. Okay. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
All right.
And the
14th? For the 14th. Okay. Supervisor Howe?
Sorry.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
You're going to second again. Huh?
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
You know what to do, Lee.
Going
to
abstain yes, from that one. All right.
Move on to item 12, public hearings. We're going to start off A, County Council. This is the second reading of
Ordinance to amend our county code to remove sections authorizing staff to place liens to collect fines. Presently, state statutes do not allow local entities to explicitly use property liens to collect their fines, and this proposed amendment to our county code would thus make our code comport with state law at the moment. Hopefully it will change in the future, but right now perhaps it's a step too far.
Okay. That was the staff report. Any correspondence on you?
No correspondence at the clerk's level.
No other departments commented. No any proponents here? No opponents? Any public comment, Anna?
Showing none online.
No rebuttals? Get to close the hearing here, Lee?
This is the second reading, so yes, we can close.
Any discussion by the board? Take a motion. A motion?
That's the recommended motion, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I'll second the
motion. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
No.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay. Item B, second reading.
Bill Carroll again, Assistant County Counsel. This proposed ordinance reflects a brand new state law that will take effect on January 1st. The state legislature has restricted the ability of local entities to impose fines without notices in relation to cannabis grows. For a local entity to impose a fine right now we could pretty much self-determine whatever fine we want under our county code. Now, starting January 1st, we can only impose $1,000 per fine per violation per day without notice, and up to $10,000 per day. Once, however, a property owner is noticed of their violations, that limit doesn't apply anymore. But anyways, a pretty immediate ordinance. We have a brand new state law imposing a maximum of $1,000 per violation per day with no notice. So this amends our county code to reflect that.
Okay. Any correspondence, Wendy?
No correspondence at the clerk.
No other departments reported. Any proponents? Public comment?
Showing none online.
No rebuttals. We're going to close the hearing.
Okay.
Any discussion from the board? I'll take a motion.
This is in compliance with this new state law, so I don't know.
It is. It matches it exactly.
Not any more lenient or anything like that?
No, unfortunately. They can't pass a law, but they haven't yet.
So moved.
Have a motion?
Recommended motion.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Sorry.
Motion and second.
Okay. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
No.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure. Item C, Public Works. This is a continued item. Okay. Still, staff report.
Before you is the Jefferson State. Tom Needham, Director of Public Works.
Thank you.
Before you is the Jefferson State trade route. It's been discussed several times over the year. Here for the second reading.
Okay.
If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any correspondence from you?
Not at the clerk level.
No outside correspondence or reports from anyone else? Proponents? No opponents? Public comment?
Showing none online.
So there's no rebuttals. This is Could it be a first reading still, or second reading?
This is a second reading, so we can close it, correct?
County Council.
Natalie Reed, County Council. Just to provide a little structure for today's decision, I'm just going to share with you the vehicle code section under which you're going to pass the ordinance and the findings that you're making.
Okay, thank you.
So it's vehicles code section 38206. And so you're going to be finding that these reference highway segments are each no more than 3 miles, that they provide the requisite connecting link. You're also finding that each proposed combined high-use highway segment is designed and constructed to safely permit the use of regular vehicular traffic and also the driving of off-highway motor vehicles on that highway. That the CHP commissioner has approved each segment as not creating a potential traffic safety hazard. And then also the section is going to require the county to have DOT approved signs erected before this goes into effect. So we'll need to get that done within the next 30 days. And so the director can confirm that we have all of those requirements met.
Yes, all of those conditions have been met.
Okay. Any more public comments since we had that?
Showing them online.
All right, so we're going to close the hearing. Board discussion.
Board's wishes. I'll make the recommended motion.
I will second.
All righty. Supervisor Hupp.
Aye.
Supervisor Coffison.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Okren.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure. Okay, we're going to go into closed session. Thank you.